It is Thursday, April 24th, 2008. This is Radio Free Burrito, Episode 11.
Hipsters, flipsters, and finger-popping daddies, knock me your load.
Hello, beautiful people. This is your old pal, Will Wheaton, and you're listening to Radio Free Burrito, coming remarkably soon after the last one. I mean, not even a full week. Don't worry, don't get excited. This is not going to be a normal schedule. I'm doing a special episode today because I have about an hour of quiet in the house, and I just wanted to read something to you. I was up till about 4 o'clock this morning working on my review of Code of Honor for TV Squad. It's the only non-TV Squadded episode in the first half of the first season, and it was a hole that I needed to fill in the schedule, I guess. I didn't write a review for it because I thought that I wasn't in it. I don't recall being in it. In fact, until I watched it last night, all I really remembered about it was how much the actors hated the script and how racist they thought the whole thing was. But I was watching it last night and discovered that, oh wow, look at that. I'm there I am as Wesley Crusher, being a dork on the bridge. And I wrote a little section about that for my review, and I think it's pretty funny. And I think that it works best when it's performed by me. So I thought that I would share that today. And what better way to do it than with a Radio Free Burrito? I also found a really awesome song that I wanted to share. And I wanted to respond to even more excellence in journalism, this time combined with Twitter hating. So we're going to have a damn good time together right after this. Palm Springs, the number one destination for getting nothing done since 1896. Except, of course, LA City Hall. All right, on to the excerpt from Code of Honor that I was so excited to share with you all today. So Code of Honor, in case you don't remember, and it would be very understandable if you did not, is the third episode of Next Generation, and it centers around a planet where the leader kidnaps Tasha Yar, the chief of security from the Enterprise, creating a prime directive dilemma for Captain Picard, and a practical dilemma as well, because they present a vaccine, or not present, they hold a vaccine, and they need that vaccine because the Enterprise needs the vaccine from the planet because there's a like Starbase MacGuffin has sick people on it or something like that. So where I'm going to pick this up is about halfway through the second act, maybe third act, and Tasha's been kidnapped. She's been gone for a day, and everyone on the bridge is trying to figure out exactly what to do. So Picard has just called together a meeting of some of his higher-ups and asks them exactly, what the hell is going on. So that's where we pick this up. Troy tells Picard that the two animated characters are correct. This is in reference to a Beavis and Butthead joke I have running through the whole thing. Troy tells Picard that the two animated characters are correct, but she also felt something extra special from Lutan, something like avarice or ambition. Picard says, "Again, allow me to thank you for not delivering this important information to me when it would have been useful." Data adds that the Ligonians respect patience, Ensign Ed Gruberman says, "Yeah, yeah, patience. How long will that take?" But Picard decides to wait it out, because if there's something Next Generation is really good at in the first season, it's spending pages and pages not going anywhere. A full day goes by, and they still haven't heard anything from the planet. Picard is understandably concerned about the welfare of his chief of security, so this is the perfect time for the doctor to pay him a visit and pester him to allow her son Wesley to come hang out on the bridge. You know, because the last time Wesley was on the bridge, everything went so well that in the midst of a major crisis, it is the perfect time to, oh, sweet Jesus fucking Christ, what the hell was wrong with the writers? Sorry. I got a little worked up there. Let me try again. Dr. Crusher visits Picard and tells him that the plague can kill millions of people, and while the vaccine is awesome and everything, it can't be replicated by the Enterprise. In a devastating blow to technobabble enthusiasts everywhere, she never explains why. She's annoyed that Picard isn't as melodramatic as she is about the whole thing, so she changes the subject to her son Wesley, who's been ordered to stay off the bridge by the captain, but really, really, really wants to come hang out with the adults. Also, he's kind of just sort of sitting on the turbo lift, holding the door open button for the last 3 minutes, I guess, and waiting. So maybe Picard could just let him, you know, come hang out? Picard says, "Are you out of your fucking mind? I have my chief of security trapped on the planet. We haven't heard from her in over a day, you idiot! Of all the times in the world to drag your annoying little wunderkind up here, you picked now? What are you smoking, and why didn't you bring me any? Get out of here and take Mary Sue with you." No, I'm kidding. He invites Wesley to sit at Ops. The Ops console, next to Geordi, in the middle of a major crisis. My God, a lot of the hate mail I used to get suddenly makes a whole lot of sense. I have never been more grateful that there wasn't live blogging in 1987 as I am right now. So Wesley, decked out in a smashing green cable knit sweater and smart gray stretch pants, takes a seat at Ops. While he puts his hands in his lap to hide his boner, Data tells Picard that the Lagonians live by a strict code of honor, and what Lutan did is similar to an ancient Native American ritual known as a counting coup. Lutan considers his kidnapping a brave and bold act, almost as brave and bold as portraying an offensive 1940s stereotype in 1987. Lutan, having finally charged his cell phone battery, calls the Enterprise to see if Picard is impressed by his daring display of manliness. Picard tries to get all up in his grill, but Riker and Data tell him to ask nicely for Lutan to give Tasha back. Picard, certain that nothing can be as humiliating as letting Wesley hump the Ops console, says, "Would you please, pretty, pretty please, with sugar on top. Please, 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 let Lieutenant Yar come back to the Enterprise. Please." Lutan, impressed by Picard's eloquence, says they should totally come over to his house, where they'll play some wicked Street Fighter 2 before he lets them take Tasha back home. Riker gets really excited and says that he totally knows all of Dalsim's moves, so he could lead the away team. Troy and Data tell him that, even though he's wicked cool with Yoga Fire, they have to send Picard down this time because the Lagonians will respect his authority more than Riker's. Riker agrees, but he says that if Picard gets killed on the planet, he's going to put him on report. Ah ha ha! What a wacky bit of gallows humor. Everyone has a good laugh, except Wesley, who asks if anyone has a towel he can borrow.
Sunshine in my brain, making everyone complain.
seriously, how can you not just love that song from the 2003 album I Don't Know What I'm Doing, that is Canada's own Brad Sucks with Making Me Nervous? Here's an interesting fact about Making Me Nervous. It's 2 minutes and 36 seconds long, making it 6 seconds short of the perfect time for a pop song, according to John Scalzi and Wired, who, according to Scalzi, reached this conclusion independently of one another. Speaking of Wired, if you read my blog today, Thursday, April 24th, you may have seen a post from me entitled, Why I Love Twitter. Twitter is a new sort of micro-blogging program. It's an instant blogging program that's sort of an always-on, here's-what-I'm-doing, top-of-my-head kind of thing. And as you can imagine, the world is broken down into people who love it and people who hate it. I'm sure there's people out there who just don't really care about it one way or another, but we never hear from them because they don't care, right? Well, I'm really over the Twitter haters. I wrote in my blog earlier today, in this particular post that I'm referencing, that the Twitter haters are really just annoying the hell out of me. I said, Twitter haters are the new blog haters, are the new zine haters, are the new mixtape haters. You're so totally unimpressed. We get it. Listen, Twitter haters, don't make a fuss. I'll have your Twitter. I love it. I'm having Twitter, 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 baked beans, Twitter, and Twitter. Of course, baked beans are off, so we're just going to have Twitter today. Anyway, the column that I am referencing came from Wired. It's a column called Alt Text. It's a great column. I enjoy it. You know, there's a ton of great blogs at Wired.com that I think kind of fly under the radar. Underwire and Listening Post and Threat Level, which I really liked when it was called 27B/6. I mean, I like it now, but I liked that name. Anyway, in Alt Text, this guy writes a column today about how Twitter is just totally lame, and social networking is totally lame, and therefore, by extension, all of the people who engage in these activities are also, you guessed it, lame. So he describes his first foray into the world of using Twitter, and here's what he says. Like an elderly widow keeping the TV on for company, I keep a Twitter window open whenever I'm online, and accept that as sort of kind of communication. Over the course of my day, I learn that Wil Wheaton enjoys the new B-52s album, Jonathan Coulton is taking a minivan cab, and Jason Kotke himself is having a really crappy morning. So what he does is he sort of picks these three people who have a lot of followers on Twitter, and then goes to point out, you know, how just lame and mundane our lives are because these are the things we choose to Twitter about. So, right, Twitter is mundane, dude. We get that. However, in the interests of, you know, maybe getting the fucking facts straight, allow me to read the Twitter from me that he's referencing. I wrote, I can't believe that Strobe Light and Rock Lobster came from the same people who inflicted Rome and Love Shack on the world. I never said anything about the new album. I didn't even know there was a new album until I'd actually sent that tweet and someone responded to me and said, oh, there's a new B-52's album. You might want to listen to it. And I haven't even heard the new album. And to be honest with you, I'm really not all that interested in the album. The B-52's kind of stopped for me, well, right around the time they inflicted Rome and Love Shack on the world. So I get that this guy is trying to be sarcastic and snarky. Okay, fine. But if he's going to talk about how lame Twitter is and how lame people who use Twitter are, the least he could do is actually read and understand the tweets that he's complaining about.
Are you like Mr. Bungle? Mr. Bungle is ashamed because he spoils lunchtime. Don't be like Mr. Bungle.
Yeah, seriously. Do not be like Mr. Bungle. I tried to be like Mr. Bungle once. I totally ruined lunchtime. Well, that's about it for today's edition of Radio Free Burrito. Thanks a lot for giving me a little bit of your time. Hope you enjoyed the show. Maybe back sooner than I typically am, because it's a lot easier and a hell of a lot more fun to do this than it ever was before. As always, you can find me online at willwheaton.typepad.com, and these reviews from TV Squad are at tvsquad.com/bloggers/Will-Wheaton. All of that good fun times will be in the show notes. And finally, before I sign off, one last word.
Then you shall have no treaty, no vaccine, and no Lieutenant Yar!
See? Picard must have been a Mr. Bungle. Thanks a lot for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Radio Free Burrito was produced in California by apparently a guy who stutters. It is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike non-commercial license. For more information, please go to creativecommons.org.